As investigators continue to put together the pieces of what happened in Paris, they are increasingly looking at how the terrorists communicated before the coordinated attacks. Little information has been released publicly, but security and intelligence experts say the terrorists most likely used a form of encrypted communication, which is the kind of communication you may use on a daily basis. And it has renewed pressure on Silicon Valley companies to give more access to authorities. For more, let's go to our weekly guide in the world of tech, Recode. Eric Hesseldahl is a senior editor for Recode. He joins us from New York. And Eric, when we say encrypted communication, what exactly are we talking about?
We're talking about encryption. We're talking about communications that have been locked down, basically using the principles of math to render a conversation between me and you completely unreadable to somebody else who may be trying to listen in by picking up the stream in the middle. It's something that you use practically every day. If you use an iPhone and use iMessage, if you use WhatsApp, if you use various technologies, even when you buy something online, your credit card information is being encrypted when you send it to the vendor.
And even things like what PlayStation messagings, things that people use in games.
Yeah, there are some encryption. It depends. That's a whole other wrinkle to the story that's come out. But there has been some discussion that that perhaps the attackers may have used PlayStation 4. And every service has a different level of encryption. There's a scorecard I discovered today that the Electronic Frontier Foundation has put out that kind of grades all the different security measures that they take, and so you can investigate that for yourself. But yeah, these are technologies that are freely available for all of us to use.
And the CIA director, John Brennan, called the Paris attacks a wake-up call and said that tech firms need to give government agencies a backdoor into users' messages. Yesterday, California Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein weighed in on MSNBC. She said she went to Silicon Valley asking for the government to get access. She did not find any help. Here she is.
If you create a product that allows evil monsters to communicate in this way, to behead children, to strike innocents, whether it's at a game in a stadium, in a small restaurant in Paris, take down an airliner, that's a big problem.
What's been the reaction in Silicon Valley?
The reaction in Silicon Valley is basically the same reaction they've always had. They believe in strong encryption. The rights of two or three or four people to be able to communicate in a secure manner is pretty sacrosanct. They consider it very sacred. And the reason is that they believe that if they were to give the government a key, well, then the question then leads to who stores the key and where is it stored? Well, once you have a store of keys that the government has access to, that creates a bullseye that hackers could attack or another country could attack and therefore, find those third-party keys and therefore unlock all those communications and therefore open up our communications and get rid of our privacy entirely and take our financial information and take our health information. And so once you create that third key, they see that as a very complicated and difficult to close Pandora's box.
So what are they likely to do? Because I imagine the pressure is going to increase from some quarters on these tech companies to give more access to the government to prevent attacks like this if that's possible.
At the moment, there doesn't seem to be anything in the way of a movement, particularly on messaging. I mean, there's different circumstances. I mean, when the government shows up with a properly formatted warrant and asks for communications, what effectively happens, depending on the product in question, the provider can show them the data that they ask for, but it's gibberish. It's unreadable because it's encrypted. And so they're able to meet their legal obligations. But there are some, there are other ways. I mean, human intelligence is human intelligence. There are other ways to get information and the intelligence agencies can try other ways. They have means to monitor and surveil. I was looking at the French law in particular. There's a new law in France governing surveillance. And the government there is empowered to use these basically fake cell phone towers. Hmm. They impersonate a cell phone tower and they are able to intercept all the communication in a given area.
Probably a lot of people on the other end would feel very, very uncomfortable with. They wouldn't want the government to be able to do that.
Right. And so that gives government extraordinary powers. Now, I don't know what the laws are regarding the use. They're called IMSI capture stations or something like that. And so I don't know what the laws are about them here in the States, but I know that, it's definitely legal in France. Also, another interesting thing that I read about the French law, surveillance law, and there's not a lot of oversight, by the way. There's no judges involved here. The police and intelligence agencies can, if you are suspicious, considered a suspicious person, they can break into your home. They can install key loggers on your computers. They can, you know, do whatever it is they need to. They can put microphones and cameras. So we have to think more about the human intelligence aspect of this, because it isn't just electronic communications. You have to assume that the bad guys are taking steps to make their communications difficult to find, and therefore that increases the onus on the police and the intelligence community to actually, you know, do the shoe leather work, the hard work of gathering human intelligence.
Well, we will continue to follow this as the debate continues. Eric Hesseldahl, senior editor for Recode, thank you so much.
You bet.